Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And it's your last chance to get more fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this limited-time bundle ends June 30th. Save now at cedarpoint.com.
Do you want a beautiful lawn? Enter True Green, the easiest way to get a great lawn. Just water and mow and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and more. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour, and they have a verified best price, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit truegreen.com, TRUGREEN.com to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people. Guaranteed.
What a tremendous episode of UFC Unfiltered. We have, of course, myself and Matt Serra. We discussed the election. We talked to Tyron Woodley. And the highlight is, of course, I'm so happy that Ricardo Lamas stopped in today. And then I humiliate myself by thinking that a move that Diego Sanchez did. And then I compliment him on his fight with Rich Franklin. And he reminded me that that was Chuck Liddell. Stick around.
He may finish it here.
UFC and digital media present UFC Unfiltered with Jim Norton and Matt Serra, powered by digital media. Find your voice. And now, your hosts, Jim Norton and Matt Serra.
Hi-o, Jimmy.
Hello, my pal Matt. How are you?
Oh, wait. Is his mic on?
It is. Yeah, it doesn't sound like it's on.
What is going on?
What are you doing to my mic?
And the music.
Why are you muting my mic? Stop muting my mic.
There you go.
Boy, Chris really wants to take over.
Chris produces shitting on the beginning of the show.
Making editorial decisions. You know what it is? Ever since President-elect Trump, now fucking the whole system's falling apart.
I think everything's crazy now.
Look at that. The mics don't work. Oh, for Pete's sake. We have a busy show, my friend.
Hey, man. I'm psyched. Psyched. Hold on. Let me press the button.
Let me just let everybody know what we got going on. We got Tyron Woodley, the welterweight champion, great, great champion, fighting this Saturday here at UFC in New York. And what is it, 205?
Which you have tickets to.
Matt, thank you to Matt. Thank you to Dana. I know Matt threw his weight around. I still got to get a badge.
Let's not push it.
We have an in-studio guest, finally.
I'm happy about this.
Ricardo Lamas, motherfucker, man.
Tough motherfucker, really nice guy, and I really, really enjoyed his fight the other night. Versus Charles Oliveira.
Oh my God! Yeah,
missed weight by almost
9 pounds,
10 pounds. Yeah, but 9 pounds, and that was a great fight. And it was, he had to overcome he had to escape some bad positions.
He did early in that first round. Yes,
and I like that. I equally am impressed by guys calm under fire and defense in really shitty positions and how to. Just be poised and just wait for the right opportunity to escape and defend the right way and then come back and win and get your own submission. I mean, that was phenomenal. That guillotine was excellent. And that was versus a guy that knows the floor.
Yes.
So that was a fun fight. I can't wait to have him in here. We're going to bullshit with him.
I got to be honest, too. We have a bit of bad news.
Oh, I don't like that. I don't like bad news.
The Rashad Evans-Tim Kennedy fight, which I was very much looking forward to, is not happening.
We spoke to both of them.
Heartbreaking for that, because that's a fight that I really wanted to see. But Rashad is not going to be licensed. They said there's an MRI result, so hopefully Rashad is okay. I don't know what it is that can cause these things to happen, but I like Rashad as a guy very, very much.
And it's nothing shady. You know what I'm saying?
No.
Exactly. That's what's important to know.
Legitimate medical... legitimate medical thing.
Dana tweeted out a picture of him saying that he's not able to fight, but look at this. He looks like a beast.
Yeah.
He looked in really good shape. And we spoke to him on here, and he was a great interview on here.
He's a great guy. He's a fun guy.
And he was really, really honest and just about life in general. And that's a bummer. That's a bummer, because he seemed really psyched about this fight.
Yeah, good luck to Rashad. I hope he's okay. And maybe it's just one of those things that will happen to a fighter. It could just be like a torn knee, whatever it is. I mean, there's a million. I'm not going to speculate.
I just belched up my kale chips.
It's all right. So what do you think they do there? They just put, is there another fight they put on? They have 3 days.
I don't know.
Are there any two guys worth? But there might be two guys who are going to fight that were ready to fight. Too bad Cowboy's already on this card because he's always ready to fucking fight. You could literally, Cowboy could be taking a shit the night of the fight. They'd be like, you want to come in and fight? He'd just get on a plane and come fight.
I don't think he's doing that at a buck 85, though.
Yeah, let's see if there's anybody who, well, he's already on the card anyway.
He isn't. Who's that?
Cowboy Cerrone.
Oh, yes.
He's fighting Calvin Gastelum.
Yes. I forget how many good fights. There's so many good fights on this card that you forget, oh, shit, that's there too, and that type of thing.
How many?
But I was looking forward to that.
I know. And fucking.
Well, maybe they can do that on another date.
Do they get anybody who is ready to fight Tim Kennedy?
I don't know, man. I don't know who's stepping up to fight that fucking killer.
Yeah,
fucking,
he really is a beast.
4 days, though, it is, whatever it is. But, hey, listen, on a positive note.
Somebody may do that for the money, though.
Oh, yeah.
Just to be on that fucking card.
Yeah, for
sure. Somebody. Man. I bet you Dana wants somebody. He'll get somebody. They got Anderson on 3 days' notice.
It's true.
For 200. True.
Yeah, I don't think they're going to try to replace it, but, I mean, my guess was maybe Nick Diaz is floating around there.
All right.
My thing is, this is on the undercard too. Not to be a dick. I mean, it's a fucking big card.
FS1,
right?
Yeah.
That is, and I mean, so I'm saying it's a little different than, I think that time Anderson stepped up when we needed like a main event or a co-main event. But at the same time, we got a lot of fights, man. A lot of fights. Longo's coming into the city today. Not over here to visit us.
Why?
Man, he's a fucking
Longo doesn't like me. That's what it is.
I go, he's a prick. He's not a prick. The guy's my best friend, Longo. I love that guy. But, the best was the other day when we had Weidman on.
Yeah.
He goes, you prick, I heard you guys were attacking me. And I'm like, what are you talking about? Yeah, my show and get no guests. I go, what are you talking about? I made like I forgot, but I totally remember.
You do. I
have such a good time breaking his balls.
Yeah, you need. That's what friends are do.
Yeah, it's like you breaking Colin Quinn's balls, but this guy's nowhere near as funny as Colin Quinn.
Yeah, but he can beat Colin Quinn up badly.
You put a stick in his hand. Oh, people keep asking for me to tweet the
yes,
the
you promised, Matt.
I'm not going to do it unless Longo gets back in studio, people.
Attaboy.
How about that, Jimmy?
How about Chris? You start bullying Longo on Twitter.
No, I understand. Listen, he's got his priorities straight.
He Weidman's fighting. So what's more important? Weidman's get in here and do the podcast.
Weidman's on the way back to the belt, so he didn't come in a couple of days. And I was good. And I didn't push him because I love Chris, and we should be selfish about Chris even... You know,
he's a fair weather podcast friend, Longo.
He only comes
on when someone's
when the guy does hold pads for Kevin James, or he has to go to a private at Kevin James's house, he does fucking put me right to voicemail, if that means anything.
He does privates at Kevin James's house. You know what a private is when a porn star fucks for money. That's what, does she do privates? Can
what?
Kevin, that's what they call a private.
Well, I don't think that's what Longo's doing.
I hope not. Him and Kevin together. Jesus, that'd be hot.
I heard Kevin can't wait.
So I wonder if Kevin, Kevin, that little stocky Long Island motherfucker, he probably hits hard.
Fuck,
Kevin James probably punches hard.
There was a time Longo was walking around, and we got tape of it before one of Chris's fights, with a straight up black eye. A black eye, man.
I know. I think he said a straight up black eye.
Like, I know. I thought it came out like friends. That, too. And you're like, don't judge him.
Yeah.
Did that black guy have tits?
Yeah.
No, Jimmy, it's not one of you.
Not one of my ladies.
Oh, shit, I get lightheaded. I don't know why I get lightheaded when I fucking... You make me laugh, Jimmy. But what was I up to? About fucking Longo
about,
with a guy with tits. Oh, no, a black eye, Jimmy.
Eye, yes.
Not a black guy. Oh, fuck. I don't know. You got me having the giggles now. Kevin James punched him in the fucking face.
Wow.
They were sparring.
Sure.
Yeah.
Kevin hit hard?
I guess so. Yeah, he says he hits hard. Long was like, I got a black eye. You guys fucking.
So he's a striking coach, and he's showing Kevin how to throw some punches.
Oh, yeah. Well, listen. All I know is that he big times me. Look, I love it. We get right back into attacking Longo. That's nothing to do with anything.
You're hurt.
My thing was he's in the city today because he's doing something with Chris. I don't know if it's open workouts or whatever it is, but he's going to be there today. You know, I might stop over and see them after this.
By the way.
Want to come with me? Want to be a plus one?
I can't.
No, thanks,
I'm
buddy.
Shooting something tonight.
I don't want to hang out with you anyway.
Oh, I want love you.
All right, Jimmy, I'm sorry.
There's a, we have to, I'm happy and I'm sad, by the way.
Why? What's up?
John Jones.
Oh.
We knew he did not cheat. But wait. Not a drug cheat.
But wait.
But the bad news, fucking, look, USADA, I get it. Their job is to clean up the sport, to make guys responsible for their own behavior.
Uh-huh.
But... I think he said it was a Cialis, and boy, have I taken those. And, you know, maybe it was irresponsible of him. But the motive of USADA is to clean up the sport. A guy who takes a dick pill to go and fuck, I mean, what are you doing giving a guy a year off? Come on, what the fuck? Maximum.
Did you ever see the movie? You never saw the movie This Is 40?
I did not.
You should. I mean, listen, that movie is kind of what it's like to be married. It is. And in the beginning of the movie, Paul Rudd is fucking, he's fucking his wife in the shower. And she's like, oh, he's like, oh, isn't this great? And then she's like, oh, it's great. He's like, yeah, I took a Viagra. And then fucking she stops. And she's just like, oh, you had to take a Viagra. He's like, oh, I thought, you know, I'd say, you know, I just supersize. She's like, I don't need you to supersize. I like, you know, your half soft cock, whatever she said. But the and then later on, he's talking to his buddy, and his buddy's going, listen, man, you can't tell her you took the Viagra. It should be on the label that you can't tell him. I don't know. It's fucking funny. Great. It's funny shit, though, because it's true. You want them to feel, hey, man, you got me this excited.
Yeah.
You know?
You also want to feel like my dick works this well.
Yeah. Hey, listen, I think when you get like over 40, it can get a little, it can have some fucking, it's not going to be that, like that fucking lightning rod.
I've been taking them since my 30s.
Have them. You?
Matt, if I was,
well, there's nothing wrong with supersizing.
If they had them when I was 11, I would have taken them. I love them. So he took one.
You pop them like fucking Skittles.
I love them.
Yeah.
So John took one. He said he released a statement saying that he did respect the process and he's pleased in USADA's investigation that determined I was not a cheater of the sport. I think a lot of people owe John Jones an apology for implying that he was a cheater. You could say what he did was dumb or maybe careless, but the fucking guy does not cheat. He did not cheat. Mm. Who's on the phone?
Tyron Woodley.
Oh, hi, Tyron. How are you? Sorry, buddy. How are you? It's Jim and Matt.
Doing great. How you guys doing?
Very good, man. How are you feeling week of the fight?
I feel awesome, man. Feel awesome. Glad to be here finally and getting this thing done.
Nice. You're here. You're in New York.
Yeah, I'm still in New York. I mean, if I wasn't in New York, that would be a problem.
Yeah, I guess that's right. When did you get into town?
I got into town Monday, actually.
Do you feel well rested? In? Do you feel well? What time did you go to bed last night? Because it was a weird night.
I think y'all trying to get some low-key inside info for Wonder Boy.
Oh shit! Oh, now I'm sensing.
Last night.
Oh, this is
after breakfast. How long I've been in town?
Wait.
I way.
Listen, seriously though, seriously, champ. What's the game plan? Tell me. Tell me.
Yeah, we won't say.
Tell me exactly what. Tell me exactly what you're gonna do. Listen, Wonder Boy's not that good at passing. Jump the guard. See what's gonna happen. Let's just fuck it. Jump the guard. Show you have some arm locks. Listen, hey, champ, you probably talked to my buddy Dean Thomas, and I was on here, and I like to break his balls, and he knows I'm buddies with Wonder Boy, so I don't know if you spoke to him. Is that what I'm sensing? Did you speak to him?
I might have got an inside scoop.
Yeah, well, Dean Thomas is a character, as you know. So don't take my ball breaking with Dean as any disrespect, because you know I like you, buddy.
Not at all.
Good.
I got thicker skin than that.
Good. You need to as a fighter. You know that deal with Twitter nowadays. You need thick skin.
You know, I was only asking because it was like I get up to do radio in the morning. I get up at like 7, which is early. And, you know, I was watching election results and I went to bed finally at 1 o'clock. I couldn't wait anymore. It's like it was just a slow process. So I was wondering, did you actually stay up and watch all of it? Or at one point, did you just go, I'll check Twitter in the morning?
Yeah, I did that. I just said, you know. It was close, and people, like, the whole neighborhood was going crazy. People walking around down the street with M16s. So I just decided that, hey, whoever's the president tonight is going to be the president in the morning. So I'll just wait and check Twitter.
So when you woke up, is that the first thing you did, or did you give yourself a little time to have breakfast first or whatever?
I definitely had breakfast. Had breakfast and just kind of chilled out. And we got in the car on the way to open work, and I'm like, so is Trump the president officially, or are they still going? He's like, no, he's the president. So it was just, I didn't get a chance to really register and put it out, soak it all in.
Well, it's kind of nice to have something to do. Like, you know, you had to go do an open workout. It's better, you know, to just, all right, I'll just go think about it later. I got this. It's nice to kind of be preoccupied sometimes.
Oh, for sure. You know, that definitely helps out. So many fights in this car. You know, we all out here, you know, doing media and stuff. So that helps out. You probably can even hear the horns beeping and the fire trucks in the background. So it's a lot of distractions here in New York that keep you occupied.
Are you outside right now or are you indoors?
I'm indoors. I'm in my hotel, but I'm right by my window so I can hear all the horns honking.
It's amazing the traffic.
You guys are used to that. That's like background noise to you guys. You guys are used to that.
We really are. You do get very used to like the fire trucks, and it just doesn't keep you up after a while. And when you don't hear it, it feels weird. And then every little teeny sound sounds like a guy with a fucking hammer coming into your bedroom. So I prefer to hear the outside noise.
Oh, well, I agree.
You've been
I can take the outside noise.
You've been to New York a bunch, champ, or no?
Not a lot. You know, I got family here, so I've been here a few times, but not a ton.
Now, Wonderboy did say that you were breaking already and the fight hasn't even started yet. And he said he could tell when you guys stood in front of each other that you were looking at the crowd and he could tell that you were breaking. Going back and watching that you're thinking a little bit too much into this and we'll see how it affects you on the night of the fight. Why would he say that you're breaking?
He said that when we did a face-off, I was looking at the crowd.
Yeah, the exact quote, sorry. He said, this guy's breaking already. The fight hasn't even started yet. I could tell when we went out and stood in front of each other and he's looking at the crowd, I could tell. Going back and watching that, he's thinking a little bit too much into this, and we'll see how it affects him in the fight.
Man, I think it's the opposite. I think he's thinking a little too much into it. Like, I've been on a lot of big shows, and it's been a lot of big crowds. Even before this, I've been on big shows in NCAA where, you know, people are cheering or booing. So that's not going to affect me. And maybe it's affecting him that he would even, you know, bring it up. I'm thinking about game plan. I'm thinking about fighting. I'm not thinking about, hey, you know, whether I was looking at the crowd, if my eye blinked. But when we faced off, and every time we are in public together, he's so nice and so want to shake hands and give him the love. And then all of a sudden on interviews, I'm breaking, he in my head, I'm not ready. And, like, I say the same stuff no matter what. I mean, whether you sit next to me or, you know, you and Zamunda, I'm going to say the same thing.
Do you, during a face-off, does that, like, when a guy looks you in the eyes, like, certain guys say that they can see if they break you during that moment, and some guys feel like it's not important at all?
I do think it's important. I do think you can see if a guy's nervous, if a guy's ready, if a guy's about to come and bring you, you know, hell in the octagon. And, you know, I did see something when I faced off with him for the first time at the presser. So I'll keep that to myself, but it's the opposite of what he's portraying.
Have you had moments in your career where you see something a guy does, like he looks down and you realize this guy is afraid?
That's a Mike
Tyson.
Yeah,
I've had right those there. Moments. I've never been wrong about him either. You know? So I've had those moments. I've also had those moments where guys look at me and I know I'm in for a war. I know they're about to come and bring it. I mean, that doesn't mean that, you know, I'm intimidated. That means I know what type of fight I'm into and that you got to rise to that occasion. And if I see somebody, you know, looking like they don't want to fight, then I know I need to break them early.
And by break them early, you mean early in the fight. You mean you just be very aggressive with them.
No, I mean just get in their face and just make it, you know, a very brutal fight because they obviously a little bit intimidated. And if they want to fold up at any point, then I can get in there and get it done.
How's your weight cut going?
It's going great. To be honest, everything is going great.
Yeah, everything is on schedule. It's got to suck, though, when you're in New York. There's so many great restaurants. So what are you going to do, like, on Saturday night? Are you just going to finally go out and eat in a good restaurant? Because there's so much you can't have while you're here.
Yeah, you know, they have actual kitchen here. So we can go, like, to Whole Foods and cook and things like that. You know, we haven't utilized it yet. But just in general, we got a lot of options as far as food. And fight week, man, I'm not really thinking about food. Like, I'm not a fighter. It's like, oh, I'm so hungry. If there's anything that I will think about during fight week, maybe, like, just cold, freezing cold ice water. And, you know. So I just chew on ice chips to suffice that.
Or blood. You're thinking about blood, right?
No.
All right, I'm sorry. Okay. I was trying to fire you up.
And I don't think you was that kind of fighter either, man. I think you just, you know, was confident in your abilities. And you went out there and just did your deal.
Who's that now?
I'm saying you.
Oh, me?
I'm saying you.
Oh,
I mean, you don't come off to me as a guy that had to, you know, eat a freaking completely rare steak and rub blood on your face before you go out and fight. Looks like you just went out there and, you know, you did your deal.
You got that totally wrong because that's exactly what I do. No, I'm only kidding. I don't do that shit.
I was about to say, hey, I could be wrong.
You're like, oh, I'm wrong. You're a fucking psychopath. Nah, I guess you know what it is, like, especially with myself. When I used to fight, like Longo, like he would try to keep it where if I'm sparring two or three times a week, he would try to pull it back a little bit where I'm like actually anxious to spar. By the time it's fight night, I'm like, I'm anxious to spar again. Is yeah. that like, I'm almost afraid to ask the champ any questions because he knows I work with Wonderboy. Okay. So I'm not trying, listen, this has
I'm
no hitting meaning.
I'm not telling you shit, man. You
already know that. Are you said, I'm trying to be quiet because I'm not,
you're trying to disguise the questions. And
hey, when's the fucking last time you sparred, champ? Let me know. You spar recently?
Hey, just know I'm ready.
Jimmy, you got to conduct this thing.
Wow, he's very guarded. He's very smart. He's the champion.
Listen, sometimes,
no,
like,
I'm ready.
Hey, champ, listen, sometimes, like, Eddie Alvarez spoke about this, like, and I did this myself, like, Longo would, like, hold for me late at night. So you get used to fighting, because sometimes guys get drowsy. They're in bed by, if they're fighting the main event or co-main event, and they're, you know, they're fighting at midnight or whatever. That's in the, they try to get like acclimated to when they're going to be fighting. So they like go for a, like Eddie was talking about going for a run at 1 a.m. And I used to meet Longo down at the, at his place at 11:30 at night, holding pads for me and whatnot. Do you do some of that or no? Do you give?
Yeah. You know, I've been main event my last fight, and I've been co-main event a few other fights before. So I'm used to just acclimating to the time zone. So whatever I need to do to get acclimated to that, I do. So I should be good.
And you did talk. Now, obviously, you're not going to look beyond this fight because, you know, Thompson's a great fighter. But you did talk about who it makes sense to get the next title shot, if that is also is an option. And you feel Damian Maia deserves it. But GSP, the idea of GSP is still out there. Do you think that's a diminishing idea, the fact that GSP is going to come back and fight?
I like how you said I don't look ahead, but then we go to the question anyway.
Well, I'm asking you kind of in like a, not in a yeah. I guess you're right. I have the question here, but I just you've talked about it before.
Yeah, you know, I'm just focusing on Wonderboy, to be honest, because this is such a historical moment. It'll be the first time, you know, that I actually get a chance to enjoy the fight afterwards. Enjoy, you know what? I just fought in Madison Square Garden, man. They legalized the sport finally. This was historical. I won the first, you know, male world title here in this event, and I'm just going to enjoy that. I didn't really get a chance to enjoy it the last time, you know. Wonderboy was right on the mic 20 seconds later talking about a fight, and everybody had who I should fight, when I should fight. Like, literally not even 10 minutes after I walked out of Octagon, I was already mentally supposed to be on to the next fight, and that's just what we've given our fans, and that's what they expect. At this time, I'm going to take some time for myself. I've seen Damian Maia in a hotel. I know he's going to be sitting in the front row trying to be all, you know, curious eyes and let everybody know he thinks he got next. So I'm just focusing on the fight, brother.
Okay.
Yeah, hey, the main man, when you're the number one. You're the champ. You got that that mark on you where everybody's looking to take you out, man. And if that's the thing about being the champ. It's not like, oh, man, I got another – I just defended my title and – now no, everybody's going to shut up. Now there's going to be more people talking shit because they want that fight with you because everybody wants what you have.
And I don't mind that.
Yeah.
I don't mind that, but you're thinking of the era like when you used to have a title, you used to see a champion defend his title twice a year.
Yeah.
Now champions are fighting four times a year, and that's because everything is so fast-paced. Like, he just fought, okay, he want to fight again. He want to fight this person. Yeah. And if the fighter is that kind of guy that want to just stay active and stay fighting, then, you know, it's a prerogative, but if a fighter also wants to say, hey, I'm not against fighting quick, but I don't have to tell you who I'm fighting tonight, because at the end of the day, is it really our choice? Do we really just get to say, I'm fighting this guy? Like, at the end of the day, they can ask us who's next, what's next for you, but the UFC is really going to decide that.
100%. So, I mean, I feel the UFC, and it's smart, they encourage people after they fight to call out people to express who they want to fight. They like that, yeah. You know. But I'll tell you,
I'm already the champion, so it's like, you know, I'm already at that spot. So now it's just basically who the person I'm end up fighting. It's not like I'm gonna say, hey, I'll fight this guy or I'll fight that guy, because for me, just in the past, it hasn't fared well with the fans. They think that, you know, okay, I was trying to shortchange Wonderboy, or okay, I'm looking over this guy. So it's never going to play out well for me personally. So I just have learned to, you know, say, hey, glad to fight in the Madison Square Garden. Glad to retain my belt. This is awesome. I'm going to go enjoy it with the family, you know, enjoy this moment. And then we'll see what's next after that.
And Tyron, you mentioned the fighting in the garden. Obviously, the history there is so amazing. Does it mean something extra because that's the building it's actually in?
Oh, for sure. I mean, if anything, any extra pressure is going to be that for me personally, just just basically looking at the magnitude of the card, looking at who's fought on this, you know, this platform before. And yeah, I do want to go up to, out there and freaking put on the show. I don't want to go out there and sneak it up, you know, because it's a big opportunity, and everybody will remember this initial card, the first one out here in Madison Square Garden, and I want to be one of the fights that stands out.
So when you were growing up, when you were a kid, were you a big boxing fan growing up?
Huge boxing fan, man.
Who did you love?
I just love watching Mike Tyson, to be honest. He was just so vicious, knocked everybody's head off, you know, and it just, I just couldn't imagine how one man can be that dominant and that, you know, that scary in a ring.
Isn't it amazing about Mike Tyson, too? Because I still remember being bummed out when he lost. I remember where I was when I found out that he had lost that fight in Japan. And he lost the title. I want to say it's 91 or is it 92 that he lost that belt? And Tyson holds this amazing mystique over people. Like, there's been a lot of champions since him. There's been guys like, you know, who he could not dominate, like Lennox Lewis. And, you know, it's amazing how Mike Tyson holds this special place. And I think it's what you just said. It's the fact that he was running through people. And it's rare you get a chance to see somebody so dominant and with the potential for such greatness.
I agree, 100%.
Do you remember Ernie Shavers, or are you too young?
I think I'm too
ill for Ernie. No one knows Ernie Shavers. Here's my goal on this. Look him up on you. He was one of these, probably they said the hardest hitting heavyweight of all time.
You just
time.
Basically told everybody you old as hell.
They know that anyway, though. They know that by my music references. Yeah, somebody says I went to a concert and I said, did you see Creedence Clearwater Revival? They're like, no, you old douchebag. That's 1972. But look up Ernie Shavers, hardest hitting heavyweight ever, and not one person on this podcast knows who Ernie Shavers is. I'm going to have to fucking get off the Ernie Shavers train. I'm really hurt. Well, man, good luck. You're a great fighter, and we're really happy to see you fight. And the co-main event, you against Stephen Thompson, this Saturday, UFC 205. And, you know, I know this is going to be a great fight. This is one of the ones I'm really, really looking forward to.
Awesome, man. Thank you, guys.
Thanks good for luck. Talking to us, Aaron.
Take care, champ.
All right, thanks.
Bye-bye.
Peace.
Yeah, right. No one knows Ernie Shavers, good. Man. I'm telling you, Matt, my goal is to get... You didn't know Ernie Shavers.
No, but you
Chris didn't
me,
know Ernie Shavers.
You brought me back when you were talking about with Mike Tyson versus Busta Douglas. I remember exactly where I was. I was at a buddy's house party, and I was upstairs with a chick. And the fight was on, and I just thought it would go the way it normally goes. You understand, Jimmy?
I do.
But it didn't. I had a good night. I was a kid.
Dude, I was bummed out.
With Mike Tyson?
Yeah.
Well, I might have got lucky that night. I don't know. I was at a house party.
So long ago.
I was a kid. I must have been like 18, 17. I don't know what I was.
You
I
got
was
up, you put your mouthpiece in backwards. She fucking really floored you.
Oh, man. I had a good time. But then I came down and I heard about that. And I'm like, oh, I missed that. But whatever. I'm young and I still got lucky.
Yeah, as long as you get a loadout. That really is all that matters.
Yo, that was funny, by the way, with the champ there. He always was a little standoffish.
Well, he's fight week too. Guys,
yeah,
fight
no, 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 no. I meant with me, with the but he had a good sense of humor about it. Because if you remember, when Dean Thomas was wasn't here.
Dean won't talk to me. He doesn't like me.
You weren't here when I was talking to Dean, and Chris, the producer, remembers I was breaking his balls about Wonder Boy, like putting a foot in the champ's face and stuff.
Well,
but it's all in fun.
Of course it is.
Yeah,
I mean,
everyone, I like to have a good time.
You did, well, that's why you wear underwear every day.
What?
Well, most of us do. I can't say everyone does.
Yes.
Look, and I've talked to Matt about this before. It's time to try something better.
Again, tell me.
You ever hear of MeUndies?
Look what I'm doing right now. Look.
Absolutely right now.
Look
he's
what I'm
unzipping
doing.
His fly.
Look at this.
I'm looking.
Look at this.
It's nice.
Thank you.
MeUndies has created the world's most comfortable underwear with a blend of fabric that is 3 times softer than cotton. When you feel awesome from the inside out, you look awesome from the outside in.
Say what? Say
when
it again.
When you feel awesome from the inside out, you look awesome from the outside in.
That's beautiful.
When you upgrade your underwear game, everybody wins. Life just feels better in MeUndies. It's made from Modal. Now, that's a fabric that's 3 times softer than cotton.
Fuck cotton.
Dude, they have tons of colors and patterns from classic to bold to adventurous. And this is the only brand to have matching pairs for women and men. And all orders in the U.S. and Canada will ship for free. We like that here. Now, if you don't love your first pair, of course you're going to. Mm-hmm. But MeUndies is going to pay you back and you can keep it for free. No questions asked. So you risk nothing. But here's what I'm saying to you. Your underwear suck. Try on some comfortable underwear that make your hog look terrific. And if you don't like them, you get your money back. What are you going to go? No! I'd hate to have comfortable underpants where my hog looks terrific. And if I don't like them, I can send them back. If you think that way, you're a fool! For a limited time, sorry, Matt.
No, I was going to say, if your hog looking terrific, is wrong,
then I don't want to be right.
Yes. Thanks, Jimmy. Sorry about that. Okay. I didn't know you. I didn't think you knew that we were going to do the old. I was going to point to you to finish that.
Hey, well, you're right.
Sorry.
Well, 100% with you. For a limited time, MeUndies is offering you 20% off your first order.
Did you say 20%?
For a limited time. They have to act soon.
All right.
MeUndies.com/UFC. Oh. And undies is UNDIES. Now, if you don't love your first pair, it's free. You have no excuse not to try my favorite underwear brand. And they really are. Made from Modal, 3 times softer than cotton. Basically, if you don't try these, you don't deserve to get laid. You know, you should take your stupid burlap underpants and grind against a fucking pole. Grind against a telephone pole in your burlap underpants until your dick is all chafed. Now, I know they don't want me to use that kind of language, but for Pete's sake, I'm passionate about MeUndies.
Me too.
MeUndies.com/UFC to get 20% off your first order. And use the link so they know that we sent you, because Matt and I are very close to being on our way out.
You're listening to UFC Unfiltered with Jim Norton and Matt Serra.
We want to talk about Lyft, L-Y-F-T. And listen to these ads, because they're very helpful in your daily life. We don't advertise products we don't like. First of all, you know about Lyft, and it's the app that gets you a ride in minutes, on demand, 24/7, for less than the cost of a cab. Now, if you've tried Lyft, you know what I'm talking about. You download the app, you request a driver, and they show up in 3.5 minutes on average, sometimes less, which is extremely fast. Now, every Lyft driver, because you're always worried, who am I going to get in the car with? Is it going to be a creep? They're vetted through a 10-point safety standard, including DMV and criminal background checks. So you know you're going to get around safely and quickly. Now, their drivers are rated after every ride, so only the best stick around. You don't have to worry about getting into a filthy car with a guy who looks like me or Matt. Just some crud with bad energy, because that means they've gotten low reviews, and they're out. With Lyft, you can tip in the app, which, what does that mean? The drivers are happier. I mean, 9 out of 10 Lyft rides get a perfect 5-star rating from the passenger. It really is just a better all-around experience. Bigger is not always better, and thank God for that. Am I right or wrong, Matt Serra?
Yeah.
Lyft isn't the biggest rideshare app, but it is the fastest-growing and highest-rated one, and I'm talking quality over quantity. So thanks to Lyft, you have an easy way to avoid drunk driving. You go out, you're on a date, it's horrible. She's not going to sleep with you.
No.
You've had a few drinks to forget about it. What do you want to do, get in the car and hit a pole? No. Pick up your dumb phone, because you're going to wind up drunk texting your friends anyway. Call Lyft.
Yeah.
Just, you know, send out the little thing. The Lyft will come and get you.
Yes.
You don't have to bum a ride from your drunk friend. Yes. And you can avoid driving people home you don't like. Give me a ride. I don't have my car. Can't get Lyft, stupid.
That's right.
Right now, Lyft is offering our listeners a special deal. You get 3 free rides, up to $10 a ride. That's up to a $30 value. But first, you have to enter the promo code UNFILTERED. Just download the free Lyft app today and enter promo code UNFILTERED in the payment section. You have 3 free rides up to $10 each. That really is up to a $30 value just for downloading the app, for Pete's sake.
That's it?
That's it. Promo code UNFILTERED. L-Y-F-T, Lyft.
Do you know how I'm getting... I know why I think I'm getting too big. I need this. I can't... This place, I can't scratch. I go to like buildings... Like the corner of a building, and I'll scratch my back.
Jimmy? That's how you know you're getting big,
Jimmy. Well, I mean, you don't have that problem. You have an itch on your back. You reach your little arms there, and you scratch it. Look at Jim. If I got an itch right here, I can't reach that. I gotta go up against like a something
like an animal. You're like a wild. Matt's a fucking like a wild
fucking,
animal.
I'm like a fucking Neanderthal, is what I am.
Matt is Jimmy. A wild animal.
You know?
Yes, you are.
I'm just a fucking. People might see me just scratching up against buildings.
Things have changed ever since fucking President-elect Trump. Matt's changed.
Yeah,
he's more outgoing, scratching his back on buildings.
He's turning into a bear.
He's turning into a
fucking Ewok. What do we got? What else do we got? Let's talk some news.
We're going to have to cover some of it with Dana again, which is okay.
Oh, yeah. Well, we can wait to talk about that with Dana. Want to talk more about movies?
I got invited to a podcast, sure.
What podcast are you
going to? On Jerry Cooney, ex-heavyweight fighter Jerry Cooney, who has a left hook like a fucking, like a dump truck.
Oh, wow.
He showed me how to throw a punch. This footage of Jerry Cooney. And Jerry Cooney is a 6-foot. You know who he was? The Great White Hope.
He's from Huntington, where I have one of my schools.
Oh, you do? Yeah. And he talks like really old school, man.
Yeah.
Jerry's
jazzy,
a fucking really cool guy.
Yeah.
A lovely man. Like, he's one of those guys who's like, the real killers are nice guys.
I'm not a lovely man, Jerry.
You're a lovely man. You're outgoing.
Scratching myself on buildings, belching. in the mics.
You're an alpha, and you're a guy, but you are a lovely man. Don't anybody kid you. You're a delight in every sense of the word.
I'm not a douchey alpha.
Oh, by the way, remember when you and I were stuck in that subway traffic the other day, and I jumped
off? That's fucked up, man.
Lady got pushed in front of a train.
That was unfortunate. I know. My wife heard about that. She's
every
like,
time. So how long were you on the train?
Because
I jumped off.
Cunt. Who pushed her? Who pushed her?
Some crazy lady. Some fucking bug-eyed,
think about
crazy
that.
Lady.
Think about that. Think about you waiting. You're thinking about what you're doing later. I got to get this. I gotta get to the thing before I get the kids. Somebody pushes you in front of the fucking train.
It's
you get fucking run over by a train and die.
The tragic part is the feeling of the hands on your back and the thrust, and then you realize you're falling in front of the train. Like, that's got to be so terrifying.
You realize, oh, my life's over.
Saw that poor woman.
How old was the lady?
But of course the lady who did it was crazy. Just another fucking psychopath. But I never stand, you know, honestly,
I never stand near that yellow fucking line. Are you kidding me?
I'm back to the wall.
I'm looking around for shady people. Do you realize I'm like a superhero?
Yeah, you are. No, you are a superhero. Able to scratch his back on any building.
I heard the subway
belching
violence.
Belching loudly.
The subway violence is up. You know that. That's what they said. I read that. The subway violence is up.
I did not know that.
You know, I'm riding that. Not on the one train. Not when I'm on it.
Of course not.
Jimmy.
No, I feel very safe with Matt. That's my goal, is to get Matt and Chris Weidman to just ride the train with me so I can make eye contact with people for once in my life.
I'm just going to do my part.
You don't. Now, if a guy. I had a guy walk by me last night. Skinny little dude.
All right. Sizing you up? What was he doing?
We almost bumped into each other. But I was looking at my phone. He was drinking.
Yeah.
And he was like, you bitches. But it was like, so he was so drunk. And he just said it. I was like, oh my God.
I mean, listen.
Would you address that?
No.
Or would you not care?
No. Maybe depends on what kind of mood I'm in. But most likely, no. I listen. People think I walk around half-cocked. I'm not, dude. I don't look. I'm a husband and a father. You know, I got to make. Something happens with me, I'm going to be away from, you know.
Sure.
If I'm quick to fucking smack somebody, I'm not going to be, you know, I can get taken away from my kid. You know, I might have to go away or something. So I wouldn't do something, you know, unless it was really warranted. You know what I mean? And if that motherfucker is disrespectful, that might be warranted, if you ask me.
Yeah.
Fucking fuck that cocksucker.
People are probably not very.
I don't like rude people, is my point. I think people, so people think I would walk around looking for trouble. I really don't. But I think a lot of people walk around assuming that people aren't going to stick up for themselves, and they try to walk over people or they try to fuck with people, and that I don't stand for.
You step in.
That's where I become the superhero in my own mind.
Well, people don't fuck with you ever.
You know what, man? You never know. I mean, not lately, you know, but I mean, I don't put myself in positions. I'm not going out to the clubs. Like, if I'm in Vegas and I'm with the guys want or something, I'll go hit a club with them or they got the, but usually they're in the VIP thing. I'll tell you, when I went to Ring of Combat, that's over in the Tropicana, what's the club called over there?
The Copa.
No, not the Copa. I fought at the Copa Cabana once.
Did you really?
Yeah. And I know it's not legal back then, but they snuck me on.
My friend Rico was killed there.
Oh, that's fucking depressing.
Yeah.
He's taking us to Negativeville.
Lola still drinks there.
What happened?
Drunken whore.
Oh, wait, is this a song? Oh, fuck! Oh, once again, the champ's going to listen to this. Styron is going to be like, you old motherfucker. That's fucking
No,
funny.
I'm the old motherfucker for knowing the song.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
Oh,
that's
you are? Okay,
champ
yeah.
is going to listen to this He's and right. say that, because I'm right there with him. I'm like, oh, you had a friend that died? Oh, and then Lola?
His name was Rico. He was,
Ricardo Lamas?
No.
I don't know.
He was a bartender, not wrong.
No, you're thinking of a different song. I don't know.
The Copa. There's only one
what
Copa.
What the hell
song.
Was I getting at?
I don't know. You had fought at the Copa.
Yeah, I fought at the Copa.
Copa Cabana.
Between that, what else was I talking about? What else was I talking about? I was getting to something. I was getting Christopher.
Going out to clubs.
Exactly.
And you fought at the club.
Yeah. No, like, I don't, like. Like, you put yourself, like, in those... Oh, yeah. There's a club. Some bouncers are such fucking jerks.
Oh, dude, yes.
There's an after-fight party, usually at the Ring of Combat over in Atlantic City. And then once... I haven't gone in a while, but then sometimes I'm like, all right, I'll go to that club. I forgot the fucking name of the club. I don't know why. It's with a P. If for some reason, it's escaping me. But anyway, I go there. And now each bouncer, I'd go up to him, like, yo, you know, where's the... I'm meeting some guys at the VIP section. And the guy... And this guy's like a little bit bigger than me. He wasn't too big of a bouncer. And I'm like, hey, and I'm going up to a guy, like a nice guy. Hey, do you know where the, he goes, oh, you know, it's upstairs. And I'm like, all right. Then I went to put my, yo, you can't stand here. Oh, really, motherfucker? I want to fucking smack the fuck.
What'd you say to him?
I'm like, oh, all right. And I, listen, Jimmy, I can keep my cool. Because the guy, He's got his balls up because he knows he's a second away from calling over fucking 8 more bounces if there's a problem. See, I know the situation. If me and that such guy are walking somewhere and it's me and him and that same guy has no fucking backup and he starts talking shit like that to me, like, I go, dude, really? And what exactly are you going to do about it? Like, I could talk to the guy. But the guys like that, the bouncers, sometimes they know they got backup before. Yeah. So they act like fucking douchebags.
Yeah.
So, I mean, and then I go to the next guy. I'm like, hey, do you know where this is? He's worse than the other guy. He's like, it's over there. And just like a tough guy. Just, really, guy, why are you acting so hard, dude? Why are you acting so hard? Probably because you know you're not. And you got backup around here if something goes wrong. So most likely, anything
that
happens,
you wanted to say that, right?
I wanted to smack the fuck out of each guy. Each guy I walked past, I wanted to smack the fuck out of. Each guy. And I wish I could have, but I can't because there's laws. And
did you make any comments?
No, I just give off a negative. I don't say anything. I get like, and like, they're not overbearingly being disrespectful. They're just being dicks. And they're being a little cocky, but they're not doing it to the point where it's warranted to say, hey, dude,
sure.
Yeah. But at the same time, I'm there to have a good time, and I'm not having a good time. It's almost like fucking, have you ever seen Dust Till Dawn?
I did.
It's like George Clooney doing the fucking shots, and instead of being happy, he's like, he got away with everything. They got past the border. He's like, he couldn't wait to beat the fat fuck behind the bar that refused to give him a drink or something. You know what I mean? Like, you're thinking about the guy that's disrespectful to you, but I try to let, you know, cooler heads prevail, and I try to.
So you just walked away.
Well, then I had some drinks with my friends, and then I get back into a good mood, and you know, because some of my guys fought and won, so I'm like, all right.
You didn't make any comments.
No, nothing overbearing. Nothing to warrant them calling in, you know, backup. But I don't like that shit.
Yeah,
because I'm being a, because the thing is this, I'm being a nice guy. I'm not being an annoying drunk. I'm not being.
Yeah.
I can understand guys because I bounced very briefly at a place, a local bar that's around the block from my house when I was a kid. Like, nothing big. But I know what it's like to deal with
drunk douchebags. Did you have to throw some people out?
Well, I wasn't a tall guy. So you get some you could get some big guys. A couple of guys, but nothing crazy. It was a very small fucking thing. It was early on. But, and I didn't do it for too long. But I can understand bouncers having a problem with people and this and that. But, you know, some of them are just fucking douchebags.
Yeah,
and
some
that place,
of them are.
That place in Jersey, that specific club, I vowed never to go there again. But you know, now, Jimmy, I'm more a little low key when I go out. People look at me as the party guy. And you know I like the party.
Yes, you do.
But, you know, it's important where and when, and I don't like to be around douchebags.
I like knowing that I'm not the only one who gets talked to like that by bouncers.
Yeah, though. You don't want to. No, bouncers are known to be douchebags. Because they know they have that. But it's the same, you get that same guy, and he's not got backup, you know, by the click of a button or a fucking flashlight away or something, you know. He's not going to be so hard. If he is, he's going to get fucked up. So, you know, I know that in the back of my head. Like, all right, I know I could take each one of these guys. I could break both this guy's arms if I wanted to, but.
You could, right?
Oh, fucking. I mean, listen, I'm not a braggart, you know, but, I mean, you know, but in my heart, I know you put me and this guy in a fucking pit or lock us in a room. I know who's leaving. You know what I mean? So when you know that, it gives you a little bit more peace of mind.
To walk away.
It
like,
doesn't give you like, oh, he's testing me. I could beat him. No, I know I can. And I don't give a fuck how big the guy is.
You're walking away because you legitimately don't want to get in trouble.
No, that's what it comes down to. It's, or if you're in a situation like that, you're not going to win because you could start smacking this guy around and you can have 5 more bounces on
him. Well, I would probably say something like, if you continue this line of action, right, I'll begin karate chopping you.
You and the karate chops. I might start using that because that gets you out of trouble a lot.
Here's what we got to do. When Ricardo Lamas comes in.
I can't wait to see
him. I'm looking forward to meeting
him.
I think I've interviewed him.
He's going to have fun in here.
I want to see how long it takes him to call me on my awful terminology.
What if he doesn't though? You're just gonna be.
You got the almonds. You got the almonds right in front of where he's sitting. Is that rude? Is he gonna? You think he wants some almonds?
He might.
What is this from? What movie is this from?
Have an almond.
What movie is this from? Around. He's taking the knife out of the cheese.
Oh, I know what that's from.
You think he wants some cheese?
It's called The Cheese Murder.
No, you don't remember.
Wait,
that?
Hold on.
Come on. Oh, come on. What a great fucking movie.
Let me write it down. Okay.
Why are you writing it down?
Because I'm gonna guess first.
Are you writing down that I'm an asshole?
No. Not at all. What? That's from, hold on.
Ready? Look, I'm going to give you, don't say it. Okay. You might not know it. Do you know it?
I don't know. Tell me.
Well, am I boring you?
No,
I don't know. Okay, are you into this?
Yes, 100%. I know.
Chris, the producer, get back to fighting.
He knows.
Mind
I know.
You fuck. No, you're right. good.
Listen, of course I'm fucking good, Chris. I'm only, I asked you that. Like, I asked if my thing's, yeah, I know I'm good. I'm just
That's
trying
right.
to make
you
a conversation.
Be respectful to
Matt. I'm just trying to be respectful to Chris, the producer.
Absolutely.
Ready? He goes in. The guy goes in. I'll tell you the scene. he tells the wife that he tells the soon to be, he goes to the church and he says he loves another, the wedding's off. He wants to go with the other girl.
Jim McGreevy story.
And the father's like a hothead and he's fucking livid. And he throws, I don't know if he throws him to the floor, and he's with the girlfriend in there. And all of a sudden, the guy takes the knife out of the cheese. And that's when fucking the other guy's funny. Little guy, he's taking the knife out of the cheese. And then he's like, do you think he wants some cheese?
Don't screw around with me, yeah. Bert.
Yes.
Bert Johnson. Yeah, it's Arthur, of course.
Arthur.
Funny.
That now the title, did you know that, Christopher? Oh, you're too young, you little cocksucker. Yeah. You probably remember Arthur 2 on the Rocks, which fucking sucked.
Did you like the remake of Arthur with Russell Brand?
Absolutely not. I like Russell Brand.
I do too.
But I do like him, but I could not get into it. Terrible. These remakes blow.
Helen Mirren's an amazing actress.
What's that?
Helen Mirren's a great actress. But it was a rough call to take Hobson and make it a female. That was just a hard gender choice.
No, because... And that was Dudley Moore. People don't know what we're talking about. We're talking about Arthur with Dudley Moore. It's like a 1980 movie. Liza Minnelli, she was great in that.
Remember,
she was like a, he caught her
shoplifting out of Bergdorf Goodman.
It was such a good movie.
Mr. Bach. She stole something, Mr. Bach.
That will be my movie minute. If you haven't seen Arthur, wait, hold on.
What is he doing? What are you answering email?
Hold on, let's just rewind that.
He's looking up all male pornography.
That will be my movie minute. Let's talk about Arthur.
Matt's movie minute. Yadda-da-da.
That's me, Arthur. It's like a 1980 something movie. It's old school.
81.
Thank you. Are you serious? Look that up, Chris, the producer.
Look it up.
Could you not do that?
He'll probably say 2008 because he likes the new one. I'll fucking bite
you. If you say 2008, Chris, the producer.
Or 2010.
Fuck you up.
1981.
Jimmy. I can't wait to do that thing that I don't think I was supposed to say I'm going to do. The Doug movie minute. No, the Doug Doug Benson. What is it? Doug Loves Movies.
Yeah.
All right. I'm doing that thing soon. I can't wait.
Good for you.
Yeah. You're doing it too. Or maybe you're not. You know, is that a Ricardo Lamas? Who's in there?
I don't know who these people are.
Who's behind us?
Who are they?
I don't know.
Two chicks checking us out.
Oh, is it two chicks?
Checking us out.
I'm married.
These men.
I'm married.
Yeah, I know, but I'm not.
No, I throw that in there all the time because my wife's like, you flirt. Like, flirt?
That's just a nice guy.
That's why she doesn't want me to get abs. My wife knows if I have, imagine me walking around Wonder Boy's abs with my charm, Jim.
If I looked like Wonder Boy, all I would do is fuck girls. That's all I'd do. I look like me, and that's all I want to do. If I look like him, that's all I'd do. But he's a really nice guy. But he's a guy, Steven is such a nice dude. But I think I've said this before. He's a guy who could literally, no matter what girl I've ever dated, he could pick them up and fuck them in the bathroom of whatever club I'm with the girl at.
He's a good looking dude.
Oh, and he's in perfect shape, and he can fight. What are you doing? I'm taking your girl to fuck her in the bathroom. Oh, all right, you want a drink?
We'll make it quick. Yeah. Is that what you're going
to
say?
Hey, come on, pal. I try to save my dignity. You want a drink? I'll get you a drink. We'll talk about it. Don't come in her, please. Unless you want to. It's up to you.
You're going to be like, unless I'm watching.
Watching him and Weidman fucking do that Gotham shoot was depressing. And they're both really nice guys, too. You can't even hate them because they're nice dudes. Good-looking fucking model.
Look at this,
fighters.
Picture right here on GP Vellante's fucking Twitter, on his Instagram. You see that?
Who's that?
I'm looking at the champ, Stipe
Miocic.
I always fuck that up, and I love that guy so much. Wonder Boy. Weidman and Vellante all with their fucking shirts all flexing.
Is Miocic in
pretty
perfect
motherfuckers.
Shape? Heavyweight's a little harder.
He's a dangerous motherfucker.
He is, but Overeem put him down.
What?
Overeem knocked him down. I mean, we beat him, but I mean, Overeem, he can. I mean, Overeem hits hard, but so are they all. Who's he? It's Velasquez Verdum. Don't tell me who he's fighting. Don't tell me.
Wait.
Who Stipe is fighting next? Who is he fighting next?
Yeah, there's no.
Oh, we don't know, no right? Okay, thank God. I thought I forgot. Probably the winner of that fight.
Yeah. You okay. Think so.
Wait, when are they fighting? They're fighting on
Ronda's card 206.
Yes. Who? Cain.
A little man named Cain Velasquez and Fabricio Verdum.
And that's going to be New Year's Eve card.
That's December 30th. It's Ronda Rousey against Amanda Nunes for the championship, the bantamweight championship in Las Vegas, and the co-main. Hold on! Don't tell me the co-main. Is Cody Garbrandt fighting Dominic Cruz? That's an awesome fight. Once again, the fucking UFC giving the fans the fight they want and people wonder why other sports are not as popular. You know, that's why. Because people are like, God damn, I want to see Cody and Dominic fight. And what happens? Cody and Dominic. Yeah. Hey, look, Cody's what, 10 or 11-0? He's a great fighter. Nah. He destroyed his last opponent. I think a first round knockout. I don't even remember who it was. So he gets the shot.
And Dominic's phenomenal.
Dominic's phenomenal.
You know, do people talk about him with the pound for pound?
He's
pound
number
pound?
Two.
Okay.
Oh, good. Yeah. It's Demetrius Johnson. It's Dominic Cruz. I want to say number three is John Jones. I could be wrong about that. No, it couldn't be Jones at this point. I should shut up. Cormier, sorry. McGregor. Why would I say John Jones? Who else am I going to say? Yeah, it's Tito Ortiz. Fucking asshole I am. Yeah, Jones is not listed at the moment. Neither is Ronda because they haven't fought in so long. I got to piss.
Me too. Should we take a break?
Let's take a break and piss.
We'll take a quick break.
Pee break.
You're listening to UFC Unfiltered with Jim Norton and Matt Serra.
Here's an important question for you. Have you ever lost or thought you lost your phone? Of course you have. How awful is that? Even if you have it in 5 minutes, you're like, ugh, because you think of all the incriminating photos. If you're like me, your life is on that phone and a lot of humiliating information. Well, guess what? Identity thieves know that as well. And when your lost phone winds up in the hands of an identity thief, it can be the beginning of a disaster, emotionally, financially, even physically, that can take years to unwind. That's why you can protect yourself with Identity Guard. With Identity Guard, you get protection from a company that's been in the business for over 20 years, and that's helped protect more than 47 million people. You can be protected too. Identity Guard continuously monitors millions of transactions and articles and sends you the news, tools, and guidance you need to minimize your risk. So you're not doing the same stupid stuff that you always do. They don't just wait for it to happen and then help you. They send you little hints. Hey, stupid, stop doing this. But they phrase it nicer. Plus, if you were to become a victim of identity theft, Identity Guard's victim recovery specialist will be there to help you through the recovery process. They even offer identity theft insurance with coverage of up to $1 million. So get identity theft protection service that's right for you. Visit Identity Guard at identityguard.com/podcast. That way, me and Matt will get the credit for sending you there.
Absolutely.
And you know what? That guarantees that we don't get fired. Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans proudly supports UFC Unfiltered. Rocket Mortgage brings the mortgage approval process into the 21st century. Fast, powerful, and completely online, Rocket Mortgage has taken all the complicated, time-consuming parts of applying for a mortgage out of the equation. Hate searching through stacks of old files and paperwork? Of course you do. With Rocket Mortgage, you can easily share your bank statements and pay stubs at the touch of one button, helping you get approved in minutes for a custom mortgage solution that's been tailored to your unique financial situation. Even better, with Rocket Mortgage, you can do all of this on your phone or your tablet. It's a quick online process that you can manage from the convenience of your couch. So if you're looking to refinance your mortgage or buy a home, check out Rocket Mortgage today at quickenloans.com/unfiltered. That's quickenloans.com/unfiltered. Equal housing lender, licensed in all 50 states, NMLSconsumerAccess.org, number 3030. Matt and I have both urinated, and we are back. We took a break there. You don't notice it, but we have to be honest.
I feel refreshed.
I feel great, too.
You know? Where the fuck is Ricardo Lamos?
Well, he's supposed to be here, right?
No, he'll be here in a couple of minutes.
Oh, a couple of minutes. Hey, I'm going to have a good time. We're going to have a good time with him in here.
I interviewed him once, I believe. He won't remember me. They never do. I really am forgettable.
Are you like serious?
He'll have no knowledge he's ever met me. They never do.
I remember the first time I seen you, Jimmy. It was on Lucky Louie.
Oh, wow.
And it was a funny...
What
it was
a fat pig I was.
No, but there was
then.
A little girl that said something to you. Kelly and I'll never forget. I forget the girl. She's like, no, I just called you like a weird looking... No. Something like a weird looking guy, and you gave her like a face. You were making a weird face, too. It was just fucking hysterical.
That was...
What'd she say to
I'll
you
tell
again?
You remember? I remember that episode because I had requested a scene with her because she was such a cute kid. Oh. She was so fucking adorable. I said to Louie, I have no scenes with Kelly.
What did she say? Do you remember the scene?
I said something to her and she went, you're ugly.
Yeah, she said,
you're ugly.
Yeah, but it was funny the way it was. And after she said it, like you just sat there and you like looked at her with a funny face on. I don't know. That's my first time ever, like, feel like I was laughing at you.
And then Mike Haggerty said, well, there's nothing wrong with her eyesight. So that was a very funny. I haven't seen Mike since that series ended. That was a fun show to do.
That was a fun. I mean, you'd ever see Lucky Louie, Chris? That was
absolutely.
Not Louie. That was on.
No, I know Lucky.
Which was good too. Louie was really good too. Kind of lost me the last season, but it was good. Once he started having that love interest, I didn't really give a fuck. And I know
he
had
a love interest.
It was your buddy Pam, whatever her name was.
Oh, Pam. Well, she's from Lucky Louie.
Yeah, she was. No, I know. Yeah,
and
she's
had a
great.
Real thing.
She. What?
In real life? And she was also Bobby on King of the Hill.
She was who?
But she's Bobby on King of the Hill.
I don't watch King of the Hill.
Oh, she's a very famous animation voice.
Does she really?
Oh, very. Yeah. She was in Californication. Pam Adlon is fucking awesome.
Well, she's awesome. But first of all, I heard a little bit of her when she was on your Your Show with Sam, right?
Yeah, she's sexy.
Yeah, definitely. And you like girls with a sense of humor. Not that most girls don't. The last one got, what's her name? Katie Nolan thought I...
No, she was
lovely. I was lovely. Saying about the, I think it's like you find in a unicorn with a girl with a good personality. I'm like, no, finding a hot girl with a good personality. It's like, you know, I'm only kidding.
They are rare.
I got another belch coming. I'm trying to fight it.
I'm literally.
No, that's, see, I got a big buildup, but it's a little fucking.
Yeah.
No, it's not even coming up, man. Imagine if I tried to force it and I puke.
I would, nothing has ever made me happier than that would make me. I remember me and Rich Voss were hanging out at the Comedy Cellar. And he went to fart. He goes, oh, I shit my pants. And he shit his pants and he's running to the bathroom. It's probably the happiest I've ever been. Was watching a 45-year-old man shit his pants trying to fart at me. By the way, there's nothing better as a man than when one of your friends shits his pants. Let me ask you, in life, what can make you happier than a buddy shitting his pants?
Not much.
That's the greatest possible scenario.
That's how you do. That's how I'm getting a flashback when you told me, yeah. And I had this girl wanting to fart in my face. And I go, did you want the girl to fart in your face? You're like, more than I wanted anything.
Yeah.
Oh, this one. What's up, Ricardo Lamas?
Hello, sir.
Get in here, buddy.
Good to see you.
Nice to see you, man.
We are on. We're talking, just as you know, so you're kind of coming in the middle.
I think you just heard that.
I heard something about farting.
Well, one time, Ricardo, he was telling me that he was laughing with this girl. He was having a good time with it. And then he's like, yeah, and she was trying to fart in my face. And we were laughing. And I go, did you want that, Jim? He goes, more than I wanted anything.
Yeah, who wasn't? I'm a good guy. But I was talking about my buddy
Rich. Do what Chris
Rich.
Does and put the mic there, because I know you're going to do it in a second. Look, he knows what he's doing.
He's a professional.
Boom. Fuck, man. Hey, first of all, congratulations.
Yes.
Thank you.
That was a good fucking fight, bro.
Thanks, man.
And that guy's a dangerous motherfucker. Yeah, and dude, not for nothing. Dude, that was a different weight. 9 pounds over, man.
I know. You got to try. You got to.
That's kind of being a prick. I mean, and I like to watch that guy fight Oliveira. But
well, how long did he have? What short notice did he take to fight on?
I believe it was about 3 weeks.
It was 3 weeks. Okay. So was that?
But
kind
even
of...
me, 3 weeks out, I'm hovering around like 175, 170 still. You know, and then I start coming down, start dieting really hard. But his excuse was, I think he said he had some injuries or something from his last fight with Pettis that he had to let heal before he could start training or something. I don't know, that's what he was trying to tell me. But
didn't he not make weight for Pettis also?
This was his like fourth time missing weight.
Is that right? Chris the producer.
What do you lose, 30% to your body? 30%?
He's missed at least four times.
Normally he's 20%, but because he was so over, they gave me an extra 10. So
they give it to you.
Yeah, they gave it to
me.
Oh,
that's amazing. Okay,
That wasn't up to you. How did that work? All right, he can't be more than 165 fight day. And what you just said, how that worked with the 30%. That wasn't up to you at all? That was up to the commission or whatever?
That was up to the commission. So Reed Harris came up to me the day of the weigh-ins. I was getting ready to step on the scale, and he's like, yeah, I need to talk to you. And I was like, oh, great, you know, because that's never good news.
No one likes Reed approaching them.
Yeah. So then he tells me, you know, Charles isn't going to make weight. If he comes in more than 6 pounds over, the commission isn't going to let him fight. And I was like, are you serious?
That's the
like,
worst feeling.
The
no.
worst. Especially because I had my last fight canceled also in Manila against BJ.
We're going to talk about that.
Yeah. So later on, I weighed in and he was still cutting weight. I'm eating you know, breakfast, and then Reed comes back up to the table and he was like, well, he was 9 pounds over. But the commission decided that they'll let him fight if you want to take it. And I was like, hell yeah, I'll take the fight, you know? And
that's what a fighter does, Jimmy.
Yeah.
That's a fighter next to
Absolutely.
You.
So he just said, you know, we're going to give you 30% of his purse because he was so overweight, and we're going to cap him at 165. So none of that stuff was my idea. I was just like, yeah, let's make the fight. I was just worried that the fight wasn't going to go through.
You know what it is, Jimmy? After I'm going to say more than a 2 month camp, because he had to go through Ricardo had to go through a camp for BJ Penn,
right?
Yeah. Which got canceled. So it's that if you're finding out you're not going to fight again, it's almost worse than fighting and losing. It's right. I mean,
it is.
It's like, really, dude. It's like a major case of blue balls, Jimmy. I'm trying to relate it. I have to relate it to something Jimmy would get. Jimmy,
I do get that.
It's like, really?
Yes, I understand that.
Fuck.
Like when she gets out of the car and she doesn't help you. Yeah, exactly. No, I understand. We've all been there. So you were like, fuck it, I'll take the fight. Because he seemed to get, like, the first round, he was very, very aggressive. And he seemed like he was doing well in the first round. But the second round, it seemed like he really lost. Do you think that was being in Mexico, too?
It could have been. I think maybe he might have been worried about the altitude, so he came out really aggressive in that first round. I mean, the guy's good on the ground, man.
Yeah.
He was that body triangle was really tight to try and get out of. But, you know, I just tried to stay as calm as I could and ride it out. And I knew the longer the fight went on, the more it was going to be in my favor.
Climb up the fence. The getting out of the guillotine, the climbing up in the fence.
Hold on.
I've never seen that before.
That's Diego Sanchez, motherfucker.
Sorry. All right.
We're both Mexican. Do we all look alike to you, Jimmy?
No. Did I just ask him about that, or did we talk to Diego?
We were talking about that, about Diego, and you asked me if I ever seen that before.
Yeah, I've never seen that. Have you ever seen that before? Since you didn't do it, I'll ask you if you've seen it.
I actually didn't even see it. Because he went on right after me, so I was like doing interviews and stuff.
I saw a picture you guys posted on Instagram. Like, celebrate. That's nice, man, because they fought him and Diego.
Yeah, we fought. Yeah. I was always a fan of Diego. Yeah. You know, when I started doing MMA, he was already a big name in the sport and, you know, doing all his stuff. So it was a cool experience, and I got a lot of respect for the guy.
How old are you now?
34.
Oh, shit, man.
I think you and I have spoken before.
Yeah, I was on your radio show a few years ago.
That's right.
It was with Dominic Cruz.
You were fighting Aldo in New Jersey.
That's right.
And that was a weird Uriah Faber fight with Henan Barao. And they thought he tapped, but he didn't. Or they thought, like, he had the thumbs up.
He gave a thumbs up, and then, you know, he got hammer fisted a couple more times, and Herb stopped it.
Yeah, but he couldn't see his, like, he's like yelling. Couldn't see his thumbs up or whatever.
Yeah, Uriah didn't make a big deal about it. He's cool kid.
He was
bummed. He's always cool.
He's always like a laid back West Coast dude, you know?
Yeah, he was a little bit bummed out.
But how long have you been doing jiu-jitsu for? You're a black belt. Yes?
Yeah. So jiu-jitsu I've been doing since 2007.
Okay.
It's almost 10 years.
Oh, yeah. Because I'll tell you, Jimmy, to get that, it's not even about getting out. You're not getting, to get out of a body triangle is very difficult. And people will show you ways to do it, but it's fucking difficult. If guys have long legs,
that was the biggest
sometimes
problem.
You're not fighting that, you're fighting the clock, and you don't want to make a mistake at that point of trying to get out. Just haphazardly, where you're going to leave something out, because a guy with the skills of Oliveira will seize it. And that's why, remember I told you earlier that as much as I was impressed with Ricardo's guillotine, the way to finish it, weathering that back take and surviving that is big. It's a big fucking thing. Because that guy was... It felt just really tight, huh? It felt really tight.
He
was looking to get you underneath your neck. And there was a couple of times.
He was under.
Where
he
did
was
you,
under
did you, you pull the top arm off? I'm trying to remember.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yep.
Was his extra weight a problem for you or no?
No, I don't think so. He didn't seem like massive. I mean, he did feel strong, but nothing that like I haven't felt before in there.
Have you ever seen, I heard of anyone go over by 9 pounds before? I've never heard of that before.
I've never heard. No, that's almost big. Something you got to try for, you know?
It's just wrong. It's what it is. It's wrong.
He almost missed weight for 155, you know, which is ridiculous. You know, almost missing weight for the next weight class up.
It's just, there's nothing right about it. It's interesting, too. He lost the same way with a guillotine. I mean, was it a head and arm? Was it the same guillotine?
It was no arm Pettis.
Okay, it was. Pettis is good with, did Pettis get, no, I'm sorry. Pettis got Melendez with, a guillotine with Melendez with a fucking arm lock. What am I thinking of? Did he get somebody else with a guillotine with the with just the arm in? With just the neck?
I think that was Melendez that he got with the guillotine.
Did he? I thought he got him. That's right. He got Henderson.
He got Henderson with the arm bar.
Okay, good. Yeah. All right, we're going over. We're catching up in my head. But he's threatening with the submissions. But that was a beautiful guillotine. excuse me. He tried to keep his poise. He tried this. That's why I'm like, is this on? And Jimmy, sometimes with the chokes, and Ricardo's going to tell you, when it looks like the head's about to pop out, it's the fucking tightest.
It's the worst.
So if you see the fight, it looks like, oh, he's getting out, and I'm like, oh fuck, he's tapping, because that's when it's the worst.
No, he definitely he was putting a poker face on, because 100%. I could tell that he wasn't breathing.
When I
first slapped it in, you know, and then the last he tried to push the head out, and I like just adjusted a little bit, and then the tap came. So.
You pull that off a lot in training, or no?
I do. Yeah, my coaches kept telling me, like, all camp, you know, like, believe in that guillotine.
Yeah.
And, you know, they were putting me up against the wall, having people take me down and telling me to look for my guillotine and all that stuff. So they called that one.
And why did BJ pull out?
I guess he hurt his rib. So that's what I heard. Actually, Diego Sanchez sent me a personal message on Twitter, and he's like, hey, you know, I'm sorry about your fight. I was the one who convinced PJ to pull out because he wanted to fight with the nagging injury. And he's like, but I convinced him, you know, that he shouldn't do it, that, you know, maybe he only has a couple good fights left and he shouldn't fight.
You're like, thanks, fuckface.
Yeah, I'm like, oh, thanks.
Cost me a lot of money.
He's too nice to say it. He's like, what? I was going to fight a legend.
Yeah.
And, oh, man. Hey, listen, not for nothing. I literally fought BJ like 20 years ago. You know, I fought BJ Penn.
Yeah, I know,
ago.
I know.
Oh, shit. Hey, listen, Ricardo, you were probably fucking in elementary school.
Well, we talked about these guys coming back. They keep saying GSP might come back or BJ. And it's like the older guy, it's kind of hard to watch them come back. It just seems like it's too big a risk of getting hurt.
Especially after the last time he came back against Frankie. You know, like that fight was, I thought it would have convinced him, all right, I'm done.
It was downright odd.
It was very odd.
It wasn't the guy I fought at the Mohican Sun, I'll tell you that much. And I love BJ. I really do. I like, whenever he's in New York, he usually gives me a shout and gives me a text.
Who did he lose the belt to? Because the first time I interviewed him was the day after he lost the belt.
Frankie.
That was Frankie that he lost the belt to. Yeah, that was, I think that was the first UFC guy I had try a move on me. I used to get guys to do, and he showed me what an arm bar was. Mm-hmm. Really fucking unpleasant.
BJ?
Yeah. I just asked him about it. I was like, what is it? Like, how does it get thrown on?
He's such a good dude.
He locked me up in a chair. He was sitting in his chair. And he showed me. Yeah, it rips you in two different directions. Yeah, it was pleasant to find out.
He's awesome. Yeah. BJ's awesome, man. But I'd like to, the only thing I would like to see, though, is when he fought Frankie, he wasn't with, it's not that he wasn't with a camp, but he was with his, it's not that he's surrounded by yes men, but he's kind of the boss of his shit, I feel. BJ's kind of the.
Of course.
But so when he's with, you know, Jackson and Wink and those guys over there, you know, they're not going to put their stamp on him unless he's doing the right fucking thing. You know what I mean? So, and we've seen BJ when he does the right thing in the past, unless that ship has sailed, we don't know. We're basing everything on his last fight with Frankie, but with this new camp, when he was with those brothers, what's their names? I don't know. There's something brothers that got them in shape. Fuck, I can't even pronounce their name. There was the guys that got him, they were doing his conditioning. When he fought Diego Sanchez is when he looked probably the best. That was an amazing fight. When BJ Penn, oh my God, he just looked, he was just fucking, in the fifth round, he was bouncing up and down and fucking licking his hands, whatever he's doing, fucking
the blood.
Psychopath. But, you know, people that, you could only hope to see that BJ come back again. But who knows, are you guys maybe, is it a
possibility
check?
Yeah, rescheduled?
No, I haven't been approached with anything. I know a Korean Zombie came out and tried calling him out for a fight too after, you know, ours got canceled, so they might set that up, but I don't know. You know, he's tried to come back so many times, and then the fights never happen. Like, I don't want to put myself through that again, you know?
Yeah,
like, go through
shit.
An entire camp, and then it doesn't go through.
Well, who are you looking towards next?
I don't know, man. You know, the Frankie Edgar, Jeremy Stephens fight this weekend is a great one I'm going to have my eye on, and maybe the winner of that, and, you know, who knows?
Well, it feels good back to, I mean, you know, you had the decision loss to Max Holloway, mm-hmm. you know? And it's good to get the monkey off your back, to get in there and you beat this guy. And especially, you had to have that perseverance where it started off a little rough with that dude on your back. Yeah, that makes it a little sweeter, doesn't it?
I mean,
don't get me wrong. If you get a nice knockout, it's fucking awesome. It's a great day. But to know, hey, man, I had to weather some shit and keep my calm. And then I got out and I made him say, uncle, that's got to feel fun. Are you on cloud nine still?
I am.
You should be.
Sure.
You fucking should
fucking
be. He doesn't
sure
have a glow
am,
about
man.
Him. You do. He's got a glow about
he
him.
He doesn't very like happy. My shit don't stink for the past dude, couple days.
Jimmy, it's like if you killed on fucking your latest thing or what you
or it'd be like if I had sex with a girl and actually didn't lose my erection.
Yes! You feel like a fucking winner. Cloud nine, baby.
You didn't have to snort a Viagra before to get yes. it.
Oh, I like, love it. We were just talking about that before you came in with Jones getting busted with the Cialis. That's
what
it was.
That's what I read. That's crazy.
Fucking, and I'm really irritated that they gave him the year for that. It's like maybe it was
dumb. Wait, hold on. Is that
it was the Cialis for real? Yes.
Cialis.
Oh, so now you're not allowed to have a cock pill. I mean, really? Not, is that what it comes down
they
to?
They know his intent was
it could hurt your opponent in the ring or something. Yeah.
Hurt you, though. You get bent over on a hard-on, fucking thing would snap. Shit, you can break your dick.
I heard about that. Yeah, my friend, is that true?
I've heard that happening.
Is that true?
My friend Chuck broke his dick. Oh. It's when girls bounce up too high and she came down on it.
And
it broke.
And it just, like, snaps the car.
And then what happens?
Oh.
Well, we call him Sad Chuck now. He's never been the same.
No, but is he able to get... Well, how do you do that?
You do, but...
It's like you're getting a little cast.
A little bit of duct tape and it's all good.
Right?
It's got like a little, it's got like a kink in it. It really does. I've never seen his dick.
Hey, listen, this might be one of those blessings. He probably hits it at a different spot now. This might be the best thing that ever happened to
Comes in from around the corner.
Your dick looks all silly.
Chuck hits the spot now, probably.
You don't want your dick to be a conversation piece. That's embarrassing.
Why does it have a hook in it?
Yeah, that's what happens. So you got to be careful. But Cialis should not get you banned for a year. I mean, I think they're punishing John for other things. That to me is it's harsh. It's just unnecessarily harsh.
Definitely, I don't see how that would help you in a fight at all.
Yeah, I mean,
it's fucking ridiculous.
But they said his fault level was as high as you could go. We were supposed to have Dana call in today, but
his what level?
His fault level, like when you have the arbitration, you say what was the fault of the fighter, and they're saying that his fault in it or his part in it was as high as it could.
What do you mean? He knew that he was taking a cocktail.
He probably took something. They were saying maybe it was careless or negligent. I guess that they're going with that. I don't know.
And it's only a cock. It's already determined. It's only a cock pill. It's only,
yeah.
Well, it's that there was a banned substance in the pill.
But is it listed? But it might not be listed.
It wasn't listed.
Does it make you more powerful in some other ways?
I don't know.
No wonder why my Camorras are feeling extra strong lately.
Yeah, I don't know exactly what it does for you. I know it makes you stuff. You ever take a dick pill?
No.
See, fighters don't need to.
He's a fucking younger guy.
I was younger, too, when I started taking it in my 30s in Brazil.
It's like supersizing a
fucking 100 milligram Viagra.
I had my buddy. I used to live with Rodrigo Gracie, right? And we had this girl who flew into town. Hot. She was cute. And she ended up staying over. And we hit it off. She was going to end up staying over. And I didn't get to squeeze one out, you know? And I was like, man, what the fuck am I going to do? And I took a cock pill, and I don't know. I took. You ever do the GHB back in the day?
No, I quit doing drugs.
I don't do drugs. I don't do drugs. But it's stuff that bodybuilders used to do to get them a little fucking. This is UFC Unfiltered, right, Christopher?
Yes, of course it is.
So I was a kid. So I'm like, man. So I asked my buddy the hillbilly. I go, yo, because he gave me the fucking GHB. I go, look. And it got you, like, out of your mind, and it gets you a little, like, fucking in the zone, and it was good for fucking. So what I would do was I called my buddy, like, he's some kind of doctor. I go, yo, I got this girl coming over, man. I'm afraid I'm not going to do it. What if I put the V of Viagra? What if I put the V with the G? And this is a fucking guy. He's from Virginia. He's like, I think it'll be fine. I go, fucking A, Chad. So I did the Viagra and the GH, and I was a fucking GHB. And I was a Superman that night.
Did it work?
It worked. That fucking Brazilian chick, the next day she's telling my buddy, my roommate, oh, he's a fucking machine. I cheated.
Yeah, that's
I
okay.
fucking cheated.
That's not cheating. That's just-
I was out of my mind, and my dick could fucking split a coconut.
That's nice.
Oh, oh.
Great combination.
That's great. I've always wanted to do that with my dick, just break a coconut.
I'd be happy to break a grape with mine.
Your dick can't split a grape. That sucks.
No.
Memory lane, Ricardo.
Yeah. My barber slings him out of his barber shop.
Does he? Oh, yeah. It's the best,
all
dude.
All his clients and stuff.
Oh, that's
he's
fucking
He's asking so I'm like, no, I'm good. I just need the wind to blow in the right direction, and I'll get it up.
Oh, man.
Are you married or no?
I am.
Oh, okay. So.
Long time or no?
No, not a long time. A little over... Well, it'll be 2 years in
Newlywed.
Yeah.
Kids or no?
Yes, I got one boy.
Okay, how old?
He's almost a year and a half.
All right, that's great. Yeah. Oh, now he's got a little personality now.
Oh, yeah.
When they get around 6-7 months, they're no longer little potatoes. They start. It's no longer, oh, he think he smiled. Now they get personalities, right. Jimmy, and they're great. Because I got three kids. I got three little girls, 7, 5, awesome. And 3. And that is so awesome. Jimmy.
I don't have any children. I'm still single. And
Jimmy's like, I don't know. Well, Jimmy,
I'm such a catch. I'd hate to give this away to the wrong person.
The kids are phenomenal. And I've been married for 9 years. So he's new. He's new with the marriage.
You like it. That's
good. You're doing the right thing.
I do, yeah.
You still enjoy it.
Yeah. Of course.
How'd you know she was saying that like I don't love it?
No. I'm saying married guys in general. How'd you know she was the one? You just kind of knew?
Yeah, you know, it's something, there was a long time where I was single and just dating around, you know, never wanted to get serious with anybody, and then she was the first girl that I started dating and you know, was totally into getting serious with, and we hit it off. She trains. She's had a couple amateur kickboxing fights.
Is that where you met?
Oh,
that's cool.
We met through a cousin of mine at one of my victory parties, and
well, that gives you confidence to talk to her. Yeah, that gives you. Oh, it's my girl. How you doing? You're at my victory party.
She actually had a boyfriend at the time.
Yeah,
yeah. She had a boyfriend. We met there, and then I saw her at another family party of mine.
Yeah.
And she was single then, and then we started talking.
How long after you met? Because that's always encouraging to me. The girl can have a boyfriend, you still have a shot some down the road. Yeah. Was it within a year?
She had like broken up with him like the following month or something like that, a couple weeks after.
Yeah.
The
when you're
party.
Compatible, you're compatible, and you know.
I just keep thinking the special someone, they're in the wrong place. I'm looking in all the wrong locations.
Yeah. It's when you're not looking. That's when they come. That's
they
when
say
you
that,
them.
But I say that, and then no one shows up. I try not looking, and people are like, oh, thank God, this creep's not on the fucking prowl anymore. It never works. I thought I was going to do that, and it just hasn't happened, so I have to keep looking. What are you in New York for, by the way? Are you just doing press just for 205?
For 205, yeah.
So you're going to be there?
Yeah, I'll be there.
Nice.
What do you think of the division the way it is now?
Which division? Featherweight. Featherweight?
Yeah.
I think we need to kind of figure out what the hell's going on.
Right.
You know, McGregor
it's
needs...
been a year.
Yeah. McGregor needs either come back down or stay 55, or, you know, I don't know what's going to happen.
And what do you think about that fight this weekend with him and Eddie?
I think it's a great fight. Eddie is... I mean, he's been on a roll. He's been tearing people up. He's tough as nails.
Style-wise?
I think it's a bad style for McGregor. Any of those strong wrestlers that have good striking is going to be a bad matchup for him, you know, especially if it goes into the later rounds.
Hey, man, they talk about that a lot with the later rounds with him.
They do.
I mean, he did. I mean, you know, do you blame the gassing on the fact that everybody's saying Diaz was that much bigger? They're saying all that? Or do you... He did. I mean,
they were both really tired, but the fact that he won a 5-round decision is still really impressive. Because I no one put money thinking Conor was going to win a 5-round decision. Just no one thought that.
I mean, see, I'm going to think I hate the guy. Every time I say, I got to speak my mind. I thought he lost though. I thought Diaz won 3 rounds of 2, but it was close. It was a good fight though. It was. Hey, listen, not for nothing.
There was times where they were both kind of like Conor was just walking away from him. Like for that moment, he was like, enough.
Oh no, he
him.
Had to make up some
ran,
space.
Ran.
Yeah, literally.
He did, right?
Oh no, literally turned his back and I mean, he had to make some space between him and Nate. But in all fairness, everybody's always like, oh, he went up to 170. Nate is.
Nate's a
55. He's a 55er, and let's call it that.
He fought at his walking.
It's kind of bullshit. It's not like he's in there fighting Tyron Woodley, man. You know what I mean? He's not fighting Wonder Boy, a guy who's a true fucking welterweight. He's fighting a guy that's 155, man. Most of Diaz's fights are at 155, and he went up once in a while, kicked some ass, or he lost at 170. It's not like he went up there and he won every match, but he fucked some people up. Diaz could fight at any weight and do well, but. But he's a 155er.
Well, if Conor wins, then what is he? If he loses, he probably just drops right back down, and then the next fight is against Aldo. But what does he do if he wins? Does he stay up there? Does he fucking come back down and defend the featherweight belt?
That's a good question.
That sucks for you guys, because the whole division's been tied up for a year.
Yeah, that's the whole thing. And I heard some rumors that he's going to step away from the sport if he wins on Saturday night.
Well, I think they would have to.
They'll strip him.
If they have to strip him, I mean, how long could you really, stay?
How many times have they said they're going to strip him, though, and it hasn't happened?
Yeah, but after a year, it's like, I mean, it's just, I mean, poor Aldo. I actually feel bad for Aldo. It's like after, they did offer him a shot to fight him after, what was it, the first?
Yeah, but I mean, the guy might have been injured, or he might have, who knows what you want a camp to go in. I never, when people say, and it's not you, Jimmy, but when people say, well, they did offer him that fight, it's like, yeah, but, you want to go in there, you just lost on 13
sure.
seconds,
oh,
you
yeah,
want to
yeah.
go in there and make sure you're able to fuck this guy
ready.
Up. This guy had a camp, and now you're going to take it off the couch, or you're taking it not nearly 100%. No one's going to hear that. No one's going to want to hear that if it doesn't go your way.
Right.
They're going to say, oh, look, he lost again. And you'll be like, fuck. So I think he feels he's going to get that fight again, so why should he rush it? You know what I mean?
Yeah, I hope he does.
And I hope he does, too. How do you feel you match up with Conor?
I couldn't fight him.
I'm sorry, Jimmy. I meant Ricardo.
Man, being a fighter, you ask a fighter that question. What are they going to say? Like, oh, it's no, I don't think I could do it. Like, I feel like I match up well with anyone.
No, 100%. But styles make fights. So it's like, you might feel, hey, listen, I could fuck him in this. I could fuck him up. I talk too much like I'm on the fucking, I'm like we're on the bar still. But I feel I could screw, I could get him, he could be screwed in this area with me. I feel I got him outgunned in this area. Like, you feel your style. I mean, of course, you feel confident you're a fighter and you're in it to win it. You feel you match up well, though. You feel
I do. You know, I think he's got great striking. He's very unorthodox. He's very pinpoint accurate with his punches and all that. But, you know, I'm one of those guys that can take punishment and keep coming, and I don't get flustered. You know, like you saw in my fight with Oliveira, he was, you know, he was on top. He was throwing in a bunch of submissions. And that wasn't the first fight that I've been in where I've been in a bad position and come back and won
to
later.
Win. Yeah.
So I'm just one of those guys. I'm a stubborn son of a bitch, man, you know. And when I have my mind set to do something, there's really nothing that could stop me.
I like that.
Yeah.
That's a fighter. See, that's how a fighter talks.
Just the opposite. The minute I meet resistance, I throw my hands up and I fucking moonwalk out the door. I'm finished. What are you doing here in the city?
I haven't really been doing much, man. I got in yesterday and I'm just hanging out. We also have, there's a UFC gym convention going on that I'm going to be attending also later tonight. And, you know, whenever I have free time, whenever I'm not doing stuff with the UFC. So
they got you lined up with a bunch of stuff?
Yeah, UFC, it's like fun stuff. You know, I get to do a ride with Harley tomorrow.
You ride the bike?
Yeah, I ride.
So when you went to Mexico, you have family there, obviously. Had you visited or no?
The family I have there is kind of distant, like, you know, like cousins of my mom, stuff like that. But in Mexico City, I didn't have any. They're all in Monterrey. So when I fought in Monterrey, I got to meet a lot of family for like the first time. It was cool.
Do you worry about security at all there? It's a little scary, right?
Oh yeah, we got you know, we're assigned bodyguards when we drive out. There's like a truck behind us with dudes with machine guns on the back,
shit.
Like following us around. Yeah, it's serious over there.
Okay, so they had guys to just make sure no shenanigans took place. And it sounds like a stupid question, but what do you do about the water? Just drink bottled water and everything?
Bottled water with everything. And I learned not to ask for no ice in my drinks because I got Montezuma's Revenge a couple times.
Did you?
Oh, yeah.
How bad is that?
It's bad. Like a week just pissing out of my ass.
Wow.
I
sounds like me on a regular sounds like me on a regular day, but go ahead.
I did a pilots for MTV in 2003. They were not good. And they were both shot in Cancun for spring break. And on one of them, I had done great. I was drinking only water out of the bottle. And on one of them, I had a cappuccino the night before, not thinking that that's made with fucking water.
Uh-huh.
And this one was an outdoor game show I was hosting.
Oh, no.
Sitting in 110 degrees with the lights of the camera crew.
Oh.
And I was running to a public bathroom in Cancun, shitting like a fucking animal. Horrible.
That's horrible.
A horrible feeling.
I don't like that.
No, I didn't care for it at all. So I have not been back to Mexico in 13
years.
Yeah,
and when I fight, I mean, I even brush my teeth with bottled water. I don't even take chances.
Screw that, man. Yeah, I wouldn't fuck with that.
Yeah, that's the last thing. What would they do if you had that before? I usually have to drop out of the fight.
I don't know.
You just fight and make it miserable for everybody.
Yeah, maybe. I think it has happened to some fighters before. There was the first Mexico City card I fought on. One of the guys on the other card like shit his pants. You could
I think Charles Oliveira should have fucking had the fucking mama fucking son of revenge.
Montezuma.
Mama who?
Montezuma.
Montezuma.
It's not mama?
From the halls of Montezuma.
Oh, Montezuma.
Yeah, it's a song.
Yeah, the fuck. He should have got the Montezuma revenge.
You would have made weight,
maybe
probably.
Maybe he should have shit out that fucking 9 pounds.
Yeah.
All right. Anyway.
I think today was a good episode.
I thought today was great. I'm so happy Ricardo came to hang out.
Yeah,
Cloud
man.
Nine. Look at him. Look how happy. That's the look of a
you
winner.
You look happy.
It's the look of a winner.
You look really
look
pleased.
Of a winner, man. He's not, I'll tell you, he's not looking like that right now. Charles Oliveira.
Yeah.
He's going, poha.
Yo, poha.
Did he resist the idea of giving up 30% or he knew that was it or he wouldn't fight?
No, he was actually very apologetic. He came up to me a few times and apologized for not making weight and all that. Yeah.
Hey, I'm sorry I didn't make weight. I'm going to try to kill you being a lot heavier. Dog. I'm going to be locked in a cage and I'm so sorry, but now I got 9 pounds extra I'm going to try to fucking use against you when I try to strangle you. Fuck that. No, don't get me wrong. And I like the guy. And I like his coach, too. Right. His coach is Macaco. Old school motherfucker right there. That's
fought like from heavyweight all the way down to 155.
He used to fight in Brazil, his instructor. I think it's Jorge Patadino or something, but it's I'm going to fucking destroy his name. But his nickname was Macaco. And he was a Brazilian jiu-jitsu fighter, and he used to have a bunch of, he used to have the, big fights. Like, I don't know if he had a trilogy with Pele.
Pele.
Jose Lande. I don't know. I know the nicknames. Pele, but what the fuck? Jose Landy? Lande?
I don't know his name either.
Right? But you know Pele.
Yeah, I know Pele.
Pele Macaco. And that guy was, he was almost like an Anderson Silva type build.
Heavy kicker.
And big, Muay Thai fighter. And they used to have a nice feud going, some good classic fights. Jimmy. Just give me some history.
I appreciate it. And right. I'm thinking heavy kicker. When you fought, I think you fought, it was a 5-round decision with Aldo. And he obviously kicked you. Is there anybody that kicks harder than him?
I've been kicked harder than him. I don't know, like, that his kicks didn't affect me that much. I had a nice welt on my leg after the fight. It was big, yeah. But I wasn't limping, and I was moving fine in the fifth round.
I remember the fifth round you were coming back, no?
Yeah.
If I remember correctly.
I ended the fight on top of him dropping some elbows and stuff, but it was just too little too late.
Too little too late, man, but it does show that you were still looking the fucking fight.
Yeah.
You know, some guys, they get mentally out. They didn't think they lost, and they just fucking ride that shit out, all depressed, thinking I lost this. But hey, man, you always got a shot to fucking end that thing in there.
And and that was the main event, Uriah
and Barao.
Was that a title fight?
Yes.
It was. Okay, so Barao was the champion.
Yes.
Okay, because I was like, why would you guys be the co-main if that was a title fight? Okay, that makes sense.
There we are. All right, well, Jimmy. Ricardo, what
thank
do you got
you
to plug?
Much. Yeah, Ricardo, you plug something. You have Twitter or something? Just tell people where they can follow you.
Yeah, follow me on Twitter, Instagram, at Ricardo Lamas MMA. Yeah.
By the way, did you like that movie? Did you
I
like
love Bloodsport? This movie.
You
dude.
See, he's got a shirt going
I grew
on.
Up, yes. I grew
the Kumite,
up.
the finale, it says. The grand finale that's of the Kumite right. With Frank Dukes versus...
Chong Li.
Chong Li.
Wow, 1988. That's a great shirt.
It is. It
is. A throwback. Is that an original or a throwback shirt?
No, this is a throwback shirt.
Are you a big Jean-Claude fan?
When I was a kid, me and my brother used to watch the movies all the time.
Me too. Kickboxer.
Kickboxer, Lionheart.
Even, was it Cyborg?
Universal
the
Soldier.
Cyborg? Oh, is it called? Oh, that's what it's called. What the fuck is Cyborg? Cyborg, I know Cyborg is, but that's what it was. Universal Soldier.
Universal
Why the
Soldier.
Fuck am I calling? Because they were cyborgs. There you go, Jimmy.
Something like that.
I knew it was something. Jimmy's like you and your fucking stupid
yeah,
movies.
Please. I
Bruce
love
Lee
movies.
And Van Damme, man. Those were like the only movies we watched growing up.
Fuck yeah.
Bruce Lee, I think, holds up more than Van Damme, though, as far as his reputation
oh,
is
yeah.
concerned.
Yeah, of course.
What happened to Van Damme? Was that the one that Chuck... oh, God, who's the biker? Fucking scary
Chuck Zito.
Guy. Chuck
buddy
Zito.
Of mine.
Yeah.
Punched him in the face.
It was, right? Where
he punched Van Damme in the face?
Yeah, in the store strip scores in the bathroom.
Club. I think he said he had no heart. That's why. I think he said that to Chuck.
He said, "Why would you say Chuck fucking?"
I'll get Chuck Zito on here anytime you want. You friends with him?
I've met him and we've talked. I like Zito a lot.
He's a very nice guy.
Yes, he is.
Very nice guy. Hell's Angels guy, and he was in Sons of Anarchy.
Yes,
he was.
But he's like a legit actor too. He's in Oz, I think.
Yeah.
Like he really moved from being a biker into like legitimate acting.
And he's a huge, huge MMA fan and UFC
fan.
Yeah,
that's where I sat with him. And it was so weird. I sat next to him because he's a big dude. And I sat next to him. And, you know, he's a guy, one of those guys that keeps his like legs open so he's comfortable. And I'm all squished up in my chair. And he said nothing.
And your legs are
just,
I said nothing.
Just let him have his space.
Yeah, nice. Yeah, Chuck,
he's
you
super,
relax.
Super nice guy.
Yes, he is.
I always like talking to him.
Yeah, he's a big, he got big fucking mitts on him. Like, oh, God, that would hurt to get slapped.
He's a guy that if he was younger, he would have probably did some fighting. Yeah,
I think a lot of guys look at it like, fuck, I wish I could have gotten
Well, a lot of like older tough guys like, oh, fine.
Being a Hell's Angel, I'm sure you probably did plenty of fighting on his
exactly.
own.
Exactly. And it's one of those things where, oh, that would have been my calling, but I'm too old.
Yeah, those guys are legitimately frightening.
Yeah.
Fuck yeah, Jimmy Norton. Hey, man, Jimmy, what are you going to plug?
Just, I'm going to be in Fort Lauderdale. I got a bunch of gigs. Saratoga Springs, Hartford, Connecticut, and Doylestown, Pennsylvania, all before I shoot my special December 17th.
I'm going to that, bro.
Yeah, I know you are. I'm happy you're coming here in New York. I'm
That'll be my night out with the wife.
So, yeah, just come.
I'm going to bring her. Can I have a plus one? Can I bring my wife?
You certainly can.
Thank you.
And
don't embarrass me and call me up on stage. Just say hello to me.
I would. I'll just look at you. I'll do one of these. Like people do in politicians, they always point at someone in the crowd. Yeah. Who the fuck are they pointing at?
You don't got to acknowledge
10,000 people bullying you.
But I do want to go there. And is Sam Roberts going?
Yes, he is.
Are you going to give him better seats than me?
No.
I'm not making it competitive.
No, it's my radio partner, Sam Roberts.
He's a good guy.
Stick him in the back.
Okay, I like Sam.
Yeah,
I can't wait to do that show again. And me, I got nothing to plug, but UFC Unfiltered.
That's right.
And people, I shouldn't be plugging that because people are listening already.
And watch the pay-per-view this Saturday
yes!
night.
Yes! I mean, are you kidding me?
You already know that, but watch it. I'm going to the weigh-ins Friday. I'm so happy that this is finally happening.
I'm so excited. And of course, everybody, Dana White looking for a fight. Check that out on YouTube. It's fun. There's hijinks, there's fights, and it's good times.
See you soon.
Bye, everybody.
Goodbye.
Thank you, Ricardo.
Thanks for having me on, guys.
This has been a Digital Media production. Find your voice.
Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And it's your last chance to get more fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99.
Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this limited-time bundle ends June 30th. Save now at cedarpoint.com.
Emmy Award-winning John Mulaney presents Everybody's in L.A., a special run of six live episodes created by and starring Mulaney that'll stream live on Netflix during the Netflix is a Joke Fest. The comically unconventional show will feature special guests where John Mulaney explores the city of Los Angeles during a week when every funny person is in it. Watch John Mulaney Presents Everybody's in L.A., debuting May 3rd live at 7 p.m. Pacific Time, only on Netflix.